Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was in seminary, some time ago now, I had the privilege of traveling in Africa and taking a class at the Mary Knoll Institute for African Studies in Nairobi. Each international student, such as myself, was paired with a Kenyan field assistant. And part of our learning experience was to spend a weekend with that student in their rural home. So one weekend, Lucy and I left Nairobi via public transportation. And then we walked for what seemed like miles over the red, dusty ground to her parents' home. I was welcomed and shown great hospitality by her family. That evening, before retiring for the night, she brought me a bowl of water and a towel to wash your feet, she said. I realized then just how hot and dusty and uncomfortable my feet had been all afternoon and evening. It was such a great feeling to take off my shoes and put my feet into the cool water, to scrub away the red circle of grime which had collected around my ankles above my socks. The following day, I wore my sandals, and again, we walked for miles to the village church to visit the priest and then back to her home. That night, it was even more obvious that I needed to wash my feet before I put them in between the bed sheets. And as they had become an impressive shade of brick red with stripes, bright white stripes where my sandals had been. Those evenings gave me a new understanding about this story about Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Now, I washed my own feet, but I was still touched by the hospitality of Lucy bringing the bowl and towel each evening to my bedroom door. Jesus and his disciples lived in a similarly dry, dusty land, and they also depended upon their feet for transportation. It was a common act of hospitality to offer foot washing to a guest, although an honored guest's feet were normally washed by a servant. So even though to us foot washing seems to be a strange ritual, to the people who shared the meal with Jesus that evening, it was an ordinary act of comfort and hospitality to share his love for them. But it was done in a very different and extraordinary way. When Jesus got up to wash his disciples' feet, he was not welcoming them into his home for a meal. The place where they were eating was not his, and dinner had already begun. Jesus was inviting the disciples into something deeper, into ever deeper communion with him and through him with God. Priest and theologian Sam Wells has said that with is the most important word in the Gospels. It is this word, with, that above all marks the unique character of divine love. Jesus is the Word of God who was with God at the beginning of creation. Jesus is still with God, in unity with God, whom he calls Father, even while Jesus is with his disciples. And Jesus wants to be with us, not above us, not over us, not even in charge of us, with us. On this night, he shows what it means to love his disciples to the end by being with them as he washes their feet. During supper, Jesus got up from the table and took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, and Peter resisted. Of course it was Peter. Wasn't it always Peter who overthought things, who struggled to understand what Jesus did and said? He said, "Lord, will you wash my feet?" It makes sense that Peter was uncomfortable. Washing feet was an act of service, what a servant did for a master or a student for their teacher. In Christianity Today, Joseph Hartrup wrote that even when Peter resisted, Jesus persisted. Jesus told Peter that in order to have a part in Jesus' life, to be a true follower, Peter had to allow himself to be served, to let go of his pride and self-determination. To reject Christ's service would be to reject God. Then, once Peter had been blessed, he can go and bless others, serving as Jesus did. On Maundy Thursday, we remember that the Christian life is both of these things, to give, but also to receive from God. To love sacrificially, but also to know sacrificial love for us. Everything Jesus does, all his acts of listening and caring and inviting and healing, his acts of washing feet and taking up a cross, everything Jesus does flows from his connection with God. And Jesus invites his followers to share in this connection with God, to be loved, to be blessed, to be served, and then to love and bless and serve others, to allow all our actions as well to flow from our connection with God. In her book, Original Blessing, Reverend Danielle Schroyer uses a simple illustration to describe what it might mean to remember and accept this blessing of love. Reverend Schroyer writes that she often loses her glasses. Anyone else relate to that? She invariably finds them, and each time she's relieved as she puts them on to see the world more clearly. Probably many of you know that feeling when the glasses settle on your face or the contacts in your eyes and things click back into focus. This is similar, she says, to living grounded in God's blessing. You may know it's there and even keep it near to you, but you may not be as consistent in letting it focus your view. We misplace that sense of blessing for a moment or for a long time. But each time we remember God's love for us, God's blessing for us, God's desire to simply be with us, we can let that love and blessing focus us anew. To love one another as Jesus commanded, we must begin with accepting and trusting God's love for us. Will you wash my feet? We too ask Jesus, and Jesus says, yes, yes, I will love you and give myself for you and always be with you. And then Jesus asks, will you wash my feet? In acts of love and service for one another and for all who are in need. May we also answer, yes, we will. And they will know that we are your disciples by our love for your world. May it be so. Amen.